Have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, 25. Before we get into the script, somebody asked me if I was ready to fire you guys up, and I said, I don't know. I got up this morning, I had a message on my heart yesterday. I guess it's tonight's message, I'm not sure. But the first word that God spoke to my heart this morning was worship. But really not the kind of worship sometimes that we think of. But a worship, let me give it to you the way God gave it to me. He said, we come into the house of God high when we should be low sometimes. You can start out low and then God will exalt you. Right? Your worship should start low. Do you have issues? Does anybody in the house have issues? I've got some issues. And some of them are long issues and some of them are short issues. But the way you deal with issues, you got to come in low. You can't come in high. Amen? Are you ready? Let's put a little context to this, if you will. Jesus has just left a demonic man who had a legion of devils in him. Jesus cast those devils out, and the demonic man was clothed in his right mind and ready to go with Jesus. If you go back up into Mark chapter 5, you can read this. He got in the boat and was ready to go. He's like, Jesus, I'm ready to go with you. And Jesus didn't want him to go with him. He wanted him to stay where he was at and be a witness for him. But all the people in that city, you know what they said? Jesus, will you leave? He just healed the most demonic person in their city. He just cast out all the devils. He just changed this man's life just dramatically. And they ask him, do you mind leaving? We don't want you here. And he said, why don't you bring that up? Why don't you start off with that? Because I want to tell you this. Jesus, He won't be a rude person. He's not going to change you if you don't want to be changed. I mean, he's not going to stay with you if you don't want him to stay. If we want him at this church, he'll stay. If we don't want him here, he'll go. And the way you say you want to go is, I'd rather not deal with my issues. Go deal with somebody else's issues. Somebody that will recognize they have issues. And you know what he'll do? He'll cross over to another place and somebody will get their issues dealt with. Amen? As soon as he gets to the other side, he's met with a man whose his daughter's dying. And he falls down on his feet and worships Jesus. And he's like, come save my daughter. She's dying. Please, Jesus, I need your help. That's worship. That's real worship. I love worship. I love to praise Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, we can try everything until we get to that place where we're low, then He cannot lift us up. Look, can I say it this way? Sometimes we're prideful in our worship. We got our neck stiff and our back stiff and we won't be bent and we won't bow and we won't be broken by God. But God loves to break us, to make us. He loves to fold you down where He can then remake you and stand you up. The worship started here this morning when somebody got low and then the rest of us could get high. Do you have real issues in your life this morning? Issues that you wouldn't tell anybody if they asked you. Medical issues. Drug, alcohol issues. Family issues. Maybe there's somebody in your life you want to get saved and they're running loose and you just don't have any answers. See, in the old church, this is one thing that they had right. The old church, well, they used to pray through. They spent time on the altar before, over souls being saved, over lives being changed. They cried out to God, not because they were in trouble, because their loved ones were in trouble. They paid the price. They sowed in tears where they could reap in joy. Verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. Some of you have got issues in this room. Your issues have lasted so long, and you've tried so many methods. You've tried so many things to get those under control, but you haven't tried going to Jesus. You have not tried getting down on your face before God over and over and over. A lot of times we try things that just don't work. Don't you wish you could have all that money back from all those doctors that didn't heal the situation? They don't mind charging you, but they won't ever pay you back if it didn't work. It's a weird place. But she had went year after year after year, and she had an issue of blood. I hate to tell you, but everybody in this room has an issue of blood. You have a blood issue. The fact of it is, your blood is unrighteous. Jesus' blood is righteousness. And until you get His blood, you are guilty before God. You have a blood issue. And you can go and try anything you want to try, and you can do anything you want to do. I'm talking, you can do anything, and it will not solve the issue until you accept what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary's cross. I mean, you can tell everybody you're all right with it, but inside you know you're a wreck. You're a wreck with your issue. Man, this lady, I love her. And had suffered many things. Verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind Him and touched His garment. Check this out. She heard. Who told her? Who told her? Who told her? You know she was skeptical. You know she was hard-hearted. You know, hey, listen, this woman had been to doctors for 12 years, spent everything she had. She was broke. Her heart was broke. Her mind was broke. But somebody told her about Jesus in such a way that blew her mind, who made it real to her. Are you making Jesus real to somebody? Are you just fluffing it? Are you just saying, I'm saved. Oh, I'm going to church. You should go to church with me. Are you telling somebody who's got issues so bad that they want what you have? Because when she heard that Jesus was going to be in her town, when she heard that Jesus was passing by, she said, I don't care what my issues are. I have to get there and see Him. Have you told anybody about your Jesus in such a way that would bring them, no matter what was going on in their life, they would have to see Him. They would have to just at least try Him. I can't wait till we get to heaven and meet the person who told this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years so passionately about Jesus that it stirred her heart. And the moment she heard that Jesus was coming to town, she went. She went. And she couldn't help herself. She, you know what? For a little bit, she's going to look foolish. She's going to look foolish for a little bit. You know, when you first come to Christ, you look foolish for a little bit. You know, you look strange. This world looks at you and says, man, you're foolish, you're weak. You're so weak, and you're weeping and you're crying and you're getting low. She got low. She got low because she didn't want to be up here about her problems. She wanted Jesus to know that she was serious about the problem. So she got low. Can you see her in a big crowd? Can you see her? He's coming. He's coming. I don't have to talk to Him. I don't have to see Him. I don't have to do it. I don't have to have a conversation. I'm not going to say some prayer that's going to please everybody in the room. Everybody's not going to want what I want. But I'm dying here. I'm bleeding out. I've got an issue of blood. And all I really want to do is if He'll come by, I just want to touch Him. It's been so long since I've touched Him. I want to touch Him. I came here this morning to touch Jesus, and I found out every time if you come to touch Him, He'll touch you. I'm serious. If you came to church just to be the same old thing, then you're probably going to leave the same old thing. But if you came to touch Him, He's probably going to touch you. Did you come to touch Him this morning? Or are you just checking the mark off? I went to church. I love you, and I want you to come to this church, but if you're just coming to this church to put a check mark that you came, I'm sorry. It won't help you. It won't help you. What will help you is if you touch Him. What will help you with your issues? Some of you in this room, you look good. Oh man, do you look good. Your makeup's just right. Your hair's just right. You've cleaned up and you smell good. But you got issues that really stink. And if people were to pull those issues open right now and show them, you'd be on this altar so fast. And I'm wondering why this morning we're not there. What is it going to take to drive us back to the altar? What is it going to take for us to drive to a place where we'll worship God so hard and so fast and we won't leave until we're hearing a word from God? When is it going to be when we wrestle with God until we get an answer? See, salvation is free. It is. It's a free gift. And you can accept it. You don't even need much emotion. All you have to say is, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need you to forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. But there are some things we have to pray through for. Somebody in your family has a drug addiction. Matter of fact, some of you in this room might have a drug addiction. You're saved, but you can't stop. When are you going to come and pray through? You've tried everything else. Why don't you just come up here and beg God until He makes a move in your life? Until He opens up something in your mind or your heart and makes you reveal what He wants you to do with the rest of your life. Some of you in this room have marital problems, major issues, and you don't tell nobody. And when you walk in here, things are just great. But in the real world, outside of these walls, you're a wreck. Why don't you come up here and open up your heart and mind and stop the war, stop the fighting, open up your heart and mind and say, God, help me love you, love them, forgive them where they can forgive me. We need help. Some of you got lost loved ones that are so far, they're so far out there, you've thought in your mind, you prayed for them, and right after the prayer, you said, I don't think they will come in. Today's the day you come up here and you leave it to God, and you say, God, I believe they're coming in. I believe they're going to change. Some of you have so many issues. You look, man, I'm telling you, I don't know how you make it through this kind of preaching and sit on your pews. I don't know how you're still sitting there, because you're sitting there going right now. Some of you in this room know right now I've got a major issue and I'm just going to let this guy preach until he's done. You know what you sound like? You sound like the Gadarene people. Please leave, Jesus, because I don't want to deal with this today. Will you go heal somebody else? Will you go fix somebody else? Because we're good right now. When she had heard of Jesus, verse 27, it came in the press and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Golly, what are you wanting from Jesus today? Are you willing to reach out and touch Him to be whole? You want the situation to be whole? Or have you got so used to dealing with it unwhole, you're just willing to stay there? I've got so used to some situations being so messed up, I'm good, I'm leaving there, because I'm not desperate enough to pray for them. I'm not desperate enough to reach out. The first line of that song, these are desperate times. They call for desperate measures. You know what desperate measures are? When we get on our face before God and we look foolish for a period of time. She looked foolish. And guess what? In a crowd this size, there's going to be plenty of us in the crowd, but not many people are going to touch Jesus. There's going to be big crowds, and there's going to be a lot of people saying Jesus, but there's not a whole lot of people that are trying to touch Him. There was one lady out of this whole crowd who was willing to touch Him, not because she wanted just to go by and say, I touched Jesus. She had an issue so deep. Some of y'all got issues so deep. Pornography has got a hold of your mind so strong. Sexual stuff has got a stronghold on your mind so strong. Lying has got a hold of you so strong. There's things got so hold, and you're sitting there, and you think it's going to be, we're going to come in here, and we're just going to get something, we're going to leave, and we'll be better. Listen, I hate to tell you this, but you got to reach for God. You got to reach for Him and touch Him, and that way He can touch you. Look to your left and right now. You're looking left to the right. You say, well, they're not doing it. They're not doing it. Yeah, but guess what? There's only one person in this story that touched God. One's enough. One's enough. Be that one. So would Jesus want just to deal with one person? He wants to deal with everybody in this room. But if one reached out, He would touch them. Verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 21, 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. I mean, the very moment that she touched the hem of His garment, her issue had dried up. Your issue can dry up before you know it. Your issue, listen, if you got somebody in your family you've been praying for, you can be on this altar and God can be working in their life and drying up the issue. Somebody can be dried up on drugs and alcohol this morning. Somebody can be getting healed this morning. You can get the breakthrough that you need this morning just by touching God. And you know what? You would look good on the, you would look the same on the outside, but different on the inside. This woman looked the same. She was in the same condition on the outside, but on the inside, God was fixing her. Does anybody in here need a fix on the inside? Because your outside looks good. Your outside looks great, but your inside's a wreck. Your inside's a wreck. Why don't you come and touch Jesus? You say, well, why are you still preaching? Because you know what? This message is for everybody. She touched him and immediately it dried up. Listen, when you touch Jesus, he touches you. Listen, when you reach out to touch him, he reaches down in you and touches you. Somebody said, I'll reach out to Jesus. No, he reached into you. He's powerful, ain't he? He's powerful. There's some people on these altars right now. Guess what? Their issues are getting dried up. They're getting some help right now. And guess what? You're looking, man, they look kind of foolish. They come up right in the middle of the service. Yeah, but they're getting made whole. There's some issues that are getting made whole right now. You know why? Because they said, I'm tired of sitting here. I'm tired of sitting here playing. I want to worship God. I want to get low where I can get high. I want to get so low. God, I need answers. And regular church won't do it. Regular church won't do it anymore. I need to get up on the altar before God this morning. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who hath touched my clothes? You know what? The power went out of Jesus. Listen, what got the power to come out? Plenty of people had touched him. Plenty of people had thronged him. But somebody reached out in faith and said, I need you. And the power came out. Guess what? There's power coming out of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power when you reach out to touch it. It will change you. If you've never touched him, you won't know. But if you have touched him, you will say without a shadow of a doubt, when I touched him, the power of God touched me. There's some people in this altar right now. There's things being dried up. There's things being healed in this altar right now that you wouldn't even imagine. There's people right now that are turning over pornography, drugs. They're turning over sexual stuff. They're turning over their marriages. They're sitting here praying right now. And on the outside, they look the same. But on the inside, God's doing a work. God's doing a work. What are you waiting for? It's a free fountain. See, Jesus knows when the power goes out of him. He knows when the power goes out. He knew immediately. He knows when people are being real and when they're not. He knows it. He knows when you come to surface touch him, when you come to surface church, or he knows when you reach down and grab him. Because you know what? When the power goes out, it stops him. And when you see it, Jesus said, somebody has touched my clothes. The power's gone out. The power, the virtue. There's been a dynamite explosion in somebody's life. There's been an explosion in somebody's heart, and I heard it. Is there an explosion going off in your heart this morning? Verse 31, I love this. When somebody don't recognize your worship, but it's okay because Jesus did. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest this multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know what they ask? Wait a minute, Jesus. There's a lot of people here. What are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. No, not everybody's touching me. Not everybody's here to touch me. Some of them came for a whole lot of different reasons, but there is only one who really touched me. Some people might look at you and say, you're crazy. You're crazy. What are you doing? Why'd you get so low? Why'd you make yourself look like a fool? Why did you reach out? Because I had an issue only Jesus could touch. I had an issue that only Jesus could fix. And see, I knew everybody in the crowd couldn't fix it. I've been to so many people who said they could fix it and they couldn't fix it. So I came to the one who could fix it. And while you're criticizing, while you're looking down, and while you don't recognize that I got touched, I did get touched. Listen, somebody say, they might think that you're a nut. They might think you, oh, well, you're crazy. You're one of them Jesus freaks. Yeah, but guess what? I'm touched and different on the inside. I'm dried up now, amen. I used to not be dried up, but I'm dried up, amen. My issues are getting dried up. I might look the same on the outside. I might look like the same old man. I might drive the same old car. I might wear the same old clothes. but on the inside, I'm a different man. You ever had to say that to somebody? Has somebody seen you since you've been saved and they walk up on you real quick and they think that you're going to talk about the old things and they walk up and they say, wait a minute, something different about you. We haven't seen you. Where you been? Well, guess what? I went and met a man named Jesus and I touched him and he dried up all my issues, the same issues you got because I've ran with you. Wow. See this multitude, Jesus? And he looked around about to see her in verse 32 that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You see it? See that worship? It's low, ain't it? Started out low, it ends low. See, the church today, I love good worship. I love stand up. Praise God, I do. You'll see me do it. I love weeping before God. But you know what? There's something good. When you get low before God, it's something amazing. When you get down and you say, God, hey, I know who you are. You're God. You're God and I'm not. I'm weak and I'm humble. I'm willing to bow. I'm willing to bend. God, I can't fix the problem, but I know you can. You're in control. He got real low and he just said, oh, she gets low at the end and she tells him all the truth. What was the truth? God, I had an issue that I couldn't fix. But you fixed it. Lord, I had many men touch me. But nobody hit fix me. But the minute I touched you and you touched me, everything was all right. Amen. The whole truth, Jesus, is this. I can't do anything without you. I can't do nothing. I came here today with no answers other than touching the hem of your garment. And if you would have went by and never said anything, it would have been all right. Anybody else, can y'all testify to that? Has Jesus been better to you than he thought you was going to be when he saved you? No, no, no. You thought you was going to get out of hell free, get out of that eternal damnation, but you found out after you touched him, he was a little bit better than that. He was better than just getting out of hell. He was peace in the hardest situations. He was joy when nobody else had joy. Amen? He was forgiveness when you could never give none or give none. It was different. Amen? You've got a forgiveness in your heart now that you never had before. See, Jesus has got many a benefit. And she found out about it. The truth is, I came here one way. I'm leaving different. I'm leaving different. You've solved my biggest problem was my blood issue. Jesus solved my biggest issue was my blood issue. But ain't it amazing how he works on all the other issues too? The issues that you thought weren't big issues, but they are to God. And he starts working on all of them. Amen. Verse 36 is my favorite. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler, no, go back to verse 34, sorry. And he said unto her daughter, God. What? Daughter. Man, I don't even know if she knew she was getting adopted that day. You see it? I should have added that one of the benefits. I've been thinking about this my whole time I've been saved. You know, when I got saved, my real family is a mess. Anybody else got some real family messes? But then you get saved and you get into God's family. And all of a sudden you start to realize, wait a minute. My true family, the family that God talks about, is my brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not talking about my family. It would be great if they would get saved. It'd be great if they joined up. But guess what? A lot of times God is not, he don't bring a lot of families together. Matter of fact, he becomes a sword in a lot of families. Whew. That's just truth. And I remember the first time. Y'all remember a little girl named Mary Magdalene? Y'all remember when Jesus got crucified? He had been in the grave for 3 days, but then he was resurrected. Y'all remember that story? Does anybody remember that? I thought y'all might. I like preaching stuff like this. See, everybody ran down to the tomb. She came down to the tomb early, then she went and got Peter and John, and then she ran back, and then they ran and left again. Amen? Y'all remember that? And she stood there, and y'all remember she was standing there at the tomb. Everybody else is gone. I know I'm probably preaching another message, but if you don't mind, I don't either. She says, all of a sudden two angels appear. Tell her, everything's good, go on. She said, what have you done with the body of Jesus? Hey, angels are pretty cool. You know what I mean? I know it's probably some of us in the room would like to see a couple of angels. But when you've had seven devils in you and you met Jesus, angels are just secondary. I mean, they're good and all, but we don't worship angels. Amen? Amen. Man, I'm going to lose it. Hey, where's Jesus? I know you guys know. Where's he at? Because I ain't leaving without him. I ain't going to leave out without him. I don't want to leave here without him. See, I'm tired of having church and going home and not him being with me. I want him with me all the time. We can't do it without him. I don't want to do anything without him. I can't go back home and just chill out. I got to have him. Then, can you see this? The eternities. Our whole eternity, salvation is resting on what Jesus is doing. And she's just worshiping Jesus because she won't let go. Amen? And Jesus has dispatched two angels to go down and tell her to chill out. And she still won't chill out. She turns her back on them. And she's standing there in the garden. And she's like, man, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but I can't go nowhere. Is anybody in here can't go nowhere except for with Jesus? Wait a minute. No, I'm serious. You God found you in a weird place, and all you have is him now. You ain't got a boat to go back to. You ain't got a family business. You ain't got a heritage. All you got is Jesus. Then all of a sudden, Jesus does show up. All eternity rests on him presenting himself before the throne of glory, but he stops because somebody won't stop worshiping him. So he comes back to earth and he tells her, don't touch me yet. I've not ascended unto the Father. This should tell you something. If you worship hard enough, if you try to reach him enough, he will show up. The problem is we give up way too early. When he first shows up, she thought he was the gardener. What'd she do again? She did it again. Show me what you've done with the body of Jesus. I want it. What is she going to do with the full body of Jesus? Golly, this is a woman. Is she going to tote dead Jesus around? Yes! Whatever, yes! Thank you, whatever it takes! Because since he walked into my life, my life's been different. Since he came into my life that day, my life's not been the same. I can't just let go. I just can't give up. She turns her back on the supposed gardener. He is a gardener, though. You know that, right? She turns around. He says, Mary. Mary, and you know why I know it's important? Because I guarantee when those devils got kicked out of her, those seven devils, that's the first clarity she had ever heard in her life for a long time. And I guarantee Jesus' voice sounded so distinct when he said her name. I bet when he met her with them seven devils, I bet he said, Mary, they're gone. Never mind, jeez. Mary, they're gone. I'm moving in. I'm moving in. And they ain't never coming back. And I bet she said in her heart right there, I know they're never coming back and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never give up on you. And there she sits in the garden. Jesus says, Mary. It's one of the sweetest parts in the Bible, friend. He says, Mary. You know what she did? She turned and she says, Rabboni. She said, Master, did you love me enough to come back? Yeah, because you love me enough to want me to come back. Did you love me enough to come back? Yeah, I loved you because you wanted me to come back. Some of you right now in this room, you're wanting Jesus to show out, but you're saying it with your words, but not your actions. Do you really want him to show out in your life? If you do, if you love him enough, when everybody else leaves, when everybody else forsakes, when everybody else is not worshiping, and you look like a fool, guess what? Then Jesus will show up. A lot of times it won't be in a big crowd. It won't be where everybody can see it. But guess what? The same effect will be there. When he shows up, you'll be the person that sees him. And you know what? You'll never be the same. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Whew.